Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show. Hey friends, welcome back to Reading Through Life. Today we are talking all about debut novels.
Back in episode 74, we talked about debut novels that we love, so we figured that we would do an updated version with novels that we've read since that episode that blew us out of the water.
As always, though, let's start with a check-in. How are you, Sarah?
Today, so as we recorded the last episode, I think it was on Harrison's birthday. And today, as we're recording, it's February 8th, and so tomorrow is Henry's birthday. And he's going to be 10, and I don't know how I feel about that right now. It's in my heart. Like, I have my first double-digit kid, and I know you've been there, so you get it. And I'm just like, I don't know. It feels like a big deal, and I'm not ready for it.
I know. I remember those days. They get so excited. They're like, oh my God, I'm 10.
Yeah. I told Henry the other day, he's like, dude, you're never going to be single digits ever again. He goes, ooh, I wonder if I'll ever get to be triple digits. I was like, I don't know. You are in a family that lives a very long time. So it's possible. Like, I had a great grandma who died at 106. My papa died when he was 101, 102. So, I mean, it's possible. How are you doing?
So I don't know how I am. I just feel like still very unfocused. And every day feels like a blur because there's just like so much happening. And I don't know how I am. I think it's mostly good.
Great.
But I have nothing exciting going on. So that's about it.
I do want to say, too, before we get started, after we announced that we're going to be doing two main show episodes a month, we started getting like just, I don't know if you saw them, but there was a lot of very kind DMs that we got on Instagram from people who listen, just saying that, like, you know, we'll take you two times a month if that's all we can get. Just don't go away. So it was very, very kind. So thank you guys for being so supportive. There was a lot of, you know, messages of like, you guys and taking care of yourselves are most important. So make sure that you do that first. I'm just like, you guys are the best. So thank you.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. What do you have for something bookish today?
So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're already on Goodreads, to come connect with me because I love following along, seeing what you guys are reading. And then you can follow along and see what I'm reading and maybe get a little sneak peek into what will be in our recap episodes. So I'll include the link so you can join me on Goodreads.
And then for me, I know I've talked about Pango books before, but this is just another encouragement that if you have books lying around that you know you're never going to read again and that, you know, they're not five-star books and whatever, for whatever reason that you want to sell them, highly recommend selling on Pango. I have officially sold over $1,000 on there now of books. Like, I think it's like $1,024, and I think that was the other day, and I've sold a couple since then. So very, very easy. They make it super simple to list them, to ship them, like, all you really have to do is make sure that you have an envelope to ship them in, and it's super simple. So highly recommend. And then also come buy books from me so that I can get rid of more of my books because they are starting to topple in my basement where they are living for the moment.
Okay, I will. I'm going to buy them all.
No, I was talking to everybody who is not Mia.
All right. So now that we're down to just two main show episodes per month, like Sarah mentioned earlier, we wanted to make sure to remind you that when you're a patron, you're still getting three bonus episodes per month: our overflow episodes, our life through reading episodes, and our new books episodes. Plus, you get our quarterly book chats and our private Facebook group.
It's a lot of good stuff for just $5 a month, so we would love to see you there. And if you're interested in joining the inner circle of book nerds, I feel like that should be on a t-shirt, inner circle of book nerds. Book Nerds Inner Circle. That should be in our shop. I think I might make that. Anyway, click the link in our show notes or go to patreon.com/readingthroughlifepod.
Okay, let's get into debuts. We talked in episode 74 about our feelings on debut novels and why we love them. So we're going to skip all of that today. Go listen to that episode if you want to hear all about it. But before we get into our list today, Sarah, are you seeking out debut novels this year?
I don't know that I'm ever purposely seeking out debuts. I think it just happens to be kind of a happy coincidence. And I realized as I was putting together my list for today that a lot of the books that ended up on my top list of the year last year were debuts. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Look at me go. So I love debut authors, but I don't purposely seek them out. What about you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like I don't consciously do it, but when it happens, I love it. And I do love supporting authors with debut novels because I can just imagine how exciting it is to finally have this thing they've been working on for, I'm sure, a while, get out into the world. People can read it. So I love that. And I feel like this is probably the same answer I gave in episode 74, but it's still true. So you know I'm not lying.
Are there any debuts that are coming that you're really excited to try?
So, yes, there are. And the first one is called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. This is a debut novel that's coming out on March 5th, which is my birthday. So, that's an extra endorsement for it. But here's what it's about. What if you thought you murdered your best friend and everyone else thought so too? After Lucy is found wandering the streets covered in her best friend Savvy's blood, everyone thinks she's a murderer. Lucy and Savvy were the golden girls of their small town, pretty and smart. And Lucy married a dream guy with a big ring and an even bigger home. Savvy was a social butterfly, loved by all, and if you believe the rumors, especially popular with the men in town. It's been years since that horrible night, a night that Lucy cannot remember anything about, but she's since moved to LA and started a new life. But now the phenomenally huge hit true crime podcast, Listen for the Lie, and its good-looking host, Ben Owens, have decided to investigate Savvy's murder for the show's second season. Lucy's forced to return to the place she vowed never to set foot in again to solve her friend's murder, even if she might be the one that did it. And so I saw this book was endorsed by Stephen King as a world-class whodunit. So that's all I need to know. I'm excited to read this one. And that is Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera, which comes out March 5th. And then I have one more for you, which is called Jaded by Ella Lee. This one just came out recently, February 8th. Jade has everything that she ever wanted to be. Successful lawyer, dutiful daughter, beloved girlfriend, loyal friend. Until she wakes up in the morning after a work event, naked and alone, with no idea how she got home. She's caught between her parents who can't understand, her boyfriend who feels betrayed, and her job that expects silence. And the world that Jade has constructed starts to crumble. She thought she was everything she ever wanted to be, but now she feels like nothing at all. And so it says this book is a blistering account of consent, power, race, sexism, and identity in a broken society. And that sounds very intriguing. That is Jaded by Ella Lee.
All right, I also have a couple of them that I'm really excited about. And this first one, I think that you might also be interested in, Mia. And it's called The Book of Doors by Gareth Brown. It has just come out on February 13th. And the blurb says, Cassie Andrews works in a New York City bookshop, living an unassuming, ordinary life, until the day one of her favorite customers dies right in front of her. Cassie is devastated. She always loved his stories, and now she has nothing to remember him by. Nothing but the last book he was reading. But this is no ordinary book. It is the Book of Doors. Inscribed with enigmatic words and mysterious drawings, it promises Cassie that any door is every door. You just need to know how to open them. Then she's approached by a gaunt stranger in a rumpled black suit with a Scottish brogue who calls himself Drummond Fox, because of course he does. He's a librarian who keeps watch over a unique set of rare volumes. The tome now in Cassie's possession is not the only book with great power, but it is the one most coveted by those who collect them. Now Cassie is being hunted by those few who know of the special books. With only her roommate Izzy to confide in, she has to decide if she will help the mysterious and haunted Drummond protect the Book of Doors and the other books in the secret library's care from those who will do evil. Because only Drummond knows where the unique library is, and only Cassie's book can get them there. But there are those willing to kill to obtain those secrets, and a dark force in the form of a shadowy, sadistic woman is at the very top of that list. So I've heard about this book in a few different places now, and from what I understand also, like when you open these various doors, they take you like to different parts of the world and things like that. I'm like, oh, I want a book that does that. I'm gonna be like, poof, I'm in Italy. So this book is called The Book of Doors by Gareth Brown, and it's out February 13th. And then the other one I'm interested in is called A Good Happy Girl by Marissa Higgins. This one comes out April 2nd. And it says, Helen, a jittery attorney with a self-destructive streak, is secretly reeling, from a disturbing crime of neglect that her parents recently committed. Historically happy to compartmentalize, distracting herself by hooking up with lesbian couples, doting on her grandmother, and flirting with a young administrative assistant, Helen finally meets her match with Catherine and Katrina, a married couple who startle and intrigue her with their ever-increasing sexual and emotional intensity. Perceptive and attentive, Catherine and Katrina prod at Helen's life, revealing a childhood tragedy she's been repressing. When her father begs her yet again for help getting parole, she realizes that she has a bargaining chip to get answers to her past. It says a good, happy girl is interested in worlds without men and women who will do what they can to get what they want. In her exploration of twisted desires, queer domesticity, and the effects of incarceration on the family, Marissa Higgins offers empathy to characters who often don't receive it, with unsettling results. And I think it's this last part that really got to me. Like, I'm interested in these characters who don't normally get empathy and all of these like side effects. Very intriguing. So this is A Good Happy Girl by Marissa Higgins, out April 2nd.
All right, let's get into the books, which is what we really all care about, right? We're going to give you 5 books each that were debut novels that we've read and loved, and I will get us started. So the first book is called Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. In this classic novel, we learn about the orphan Jane Eyre who grows up alone and miserable, raised by her cruel aunt, but that cruelty makes Jane more independent and resilient. And so later, when she finds employment as a governess to the ward of the very broody Mr. Rochester, she quickly develops feelings for him. But when she gradually uncovers the secrets of his home, Thornton Hall, she's torn between staying with the man she loves or living by her convictions and letting him go. This is a story of power, passion, intrigue, and a woman's search for equality. And so, what I loved about this book was the moral dilemma that Jane faced. She's obviously very upset about a very big secret that Rochester is keeping from her. But she loves him. And so, of course, she wants to forgive him. And so, reading about these conflicted feelings totally drew me in, and I really enjoyed it. Obviously, this is a classic book and has been around since 1847, but talk about smashing it out of the park with your very first book. This one is part romance, part mystery, it's gothic fiction. The writing is spectacular. And I just think back to Charlotte Bronte in the, 1847, writing this book. Like, it just sounds amazing. If you haven't read this one yet, I feel like you really have to. I would say it's kind of like an origin story for those twisty, turny mysteries, kind of like Verity by Colleen Hoover, if you've ever read that. So give that one a try. And this is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte.
All right, the first book I want to tell you about is called In Memoriam by Alice Wynne. So in this novel, we're focused on two boys, Elwood and Gaunt, who secretly have feelings for one another in a time that that wasn't allowed. And soon they are being called to fight in World War I as death falls all around them. So that's a very quick synopsis of this book. But this is one that I keep moving up in rating. Like, it started at 4 stars when I first finished it, and I've now moved it up to 5 stars simply because these characters have definitely stuck with me. Like, I cannot stop thinking about this book. I think this book can be really hard to read because what the boys go through during the war is absolutely devastating, but the author somehow also made it beautiful, which I think is kind of really hard to do. But I think what stands out for me in this one as a debut novel is just the depth of research that had to have gone into this book. Throughout the scenes of war, I felt like I was living alongside the men as they fought for their lives, and she was able to visually capture where they were and what they were living in and through. Plus, of course, just the pure emotion that you would expect from this book comes through, and it makes it one that just really, really will sink into your heart. So this one is In Memoriam by Alice Wynne.
All right, my next book is Interview with the Vampire by Anne Rice. And this is the story of Louis and his journey from mortal to immortal. He unwillingly becomes a vampire at the hands of Lestat, who is both sinister and radiant. Louis's story takes us from the streets of New Orleans to the society of Paris. And Louis alternates between his hatred of the magnetic Lestat and his desire to figure out life as a vampire and make the best of it. So what I love about this book is the concept of life versus death versus immortality, and how your perspective changes depending on if you're Louis or Lestat, because they both come at it from very opposite ends of the spectrum. And try as you might to love or hate these characters, it's impossible because they all live in the gray. This book came out in 1976, and it feels like it could have been written today. I also think it pays a very fitting homage to Dracula by Bram Stoker in its darkness and morality, and I really enjoyed it. And what blew me away by this debut is how sensual and dark, but yet still hopeful the book is. Lestat is one of those guys you truly love to hate and hate to love, and Anne Rice portrays him so stunningly on the page. She brings these characters to life and they almost feel like real people, even though obviously they're vampires. Plus, her depictions of New Orleans are so gritty and intriguing that it almost feels like a character itself. So this one is Interview with the Vampire by Anne Rice.
Hey, my next book is called Out of Love by Hazel Hayes. This is one that was on my top books of the year last year. And we open this novel at the end. A couple has just broken up, and we spend the rest of the book going back in time, retracing their steps. We see them meet and fall in love, and then we see them fall out of love, but we see each step of their relationship. And this is one that I know many of you have picked up on my recommendation and have also really loved, which just makes me so happy. But I think what sets this book apart from so many is the way that the story is told, which is backward. While there might be other books out there that do this, this is the first that I had read like that, and I found it just absolutely fascinating. And then to do this in a debut novel, to be able to be this creative, I would love to learn more about how she wrote it. Like, did she actually write it in a traditional love story way, and then she would go and like reverse it, or did she actually write it in reverse? In which case, like, even more hats off to the author, because that sounds really hard of like crafting this and having to go back and like make them fall in love. Like, that sounds really hard to me. So, anyway, this author has another book coming out really soon, and I cannot wait to read it. But this one is called Out of Love by Hazel Hayes.
Right, my next book is called To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. The story takes place in Alabama during the Great Depression, and it's about a black man who was accused of raping a white woman. And it's also about Atticus Finch, a white lawyer who's appointed to defend him. But the story is told from the perspective of Scout, who is the daughter of Atticus, and the Finch family faces outrage and harassment from the community for their involvement with this case. And what I loved about this book was seeing the justice system playing out from the perspective of a child. Scout brings the measure of innocence into the novel by observing everything that's going on and seeing what her father's going through, not to mention the defendant and also the victim. This book highlights the racial and class issues of society during that time, and it's a story that I could not put down. So this debut novel won a Pulitzer. So Sarah, it might not be for you if you haven't read it yet. But to have written a book with such lasting impact as your very first book is incredible. To Kill a Mockingbird has never been out of print since it was published and has sold over 40 million copies. Harper Lee loosely based the book on some of her childhood as she grew up in Alabama and her father was a lawyer. So her weaving together fact and fiction really makes this book shine, in my opinion. And I think it's such an incredible book. And that is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
All right, my next book is one that you guys have heard me talk about a lot, but I had to bring it up, and it's Sharkheart by Emily Habeck. It was my favorite book of 2023, and in this one, we're following a young couple in their first year of married life. Ren and Lewis expect a typical marriage with the usual ups and downs, but then they learn that Lewis is suffering from a rare diagnosis. His body will slowly morph into being a great white shark, while his physical mind mostly remains intact. So, just as with Out of Love, what I loved most about this book is the creativity that the author had. Like the fact that she could take a premise like this that is just completely bonkers and made you care so deeply for each of these characters and believe that this change is truly taking place, like that is astonishing to me. And I think, too, what's so interesting about debut authors when they do something this creative is like trusting that they are going to be published. Because, I mean, if you have a book about a guy who's going to turn into a great white shark and you're like, yeah, this is fine. People are going to love this book. It's going to be great. Like, that's incredible to me. Like, that is some confidence in what you've put together, which they definitely deserve. But seeing the care that was put into Lewis's transformation by the author is what really blew me away, because you can feel the hurt that he's going through, but you can also feel the pain that Ren is in as she has to say goodbye. So, because this was her debut, I am so curious to see what her follow-up will be like. I'm wondering if it's going to have these same kind of like out there elements, but grounded in reality. And whatever she does, all I know is that I will absolutely read whatever she does next, because this one is just absolute magic. And that is Sharkheart by Emily Habeck.
I was laughing when you were saying that about the confidence. Like, you imagine them like pitching it to their agent or to a publishing house and being like, okay, so it's a romance. And like, okay, yeah, tell me more. And then the guy is gonna turn into a great white shark. They're like, what was that? What was that last part? Oh, great white shark.
I'm sorry. Did you say great white shark? Well, yeah, but like you already really love them, so it's fine. And they're like, but is it fine? Do people want this? Is anybody out there going, you know what we really need in the romance genre? A guy turning into a great white shark. But it's magic. I don't know. I'm glad that she had the confidence to pitch that.
I feel like we just reenacted their whole pitch. That was exactly what happened.
I believe it. We should probably send this to her and she's gonna be like, wow, you guys nailed it.
All right. So the fourth debut novel that I want to tell you about is Brooklyn 76 by Anthony Osceola. And I feel like you guys have heard me talk about this one, but it's so good. And this is about one disastrous day in the Agnello family during the bicentennial in Bensonhurst, where everything that could go wrong that day did go wrong. Polly is the father, and he's desperate to make ends meet. Dee, the mother, is extremely overprotective of her kids and judgmental of everything her husband does. Tony, the oldest son, is crazy about his girlfriend and is fast coming of age. And Alex, the youngest son, sees the world through very innocent and naive eyes. At least he does until this one horrible day. What I love about this book is the imagery, because I could picture every part of the book in my mind like a movie, and it was unputdownable. It's also beautifully written with the deliciously dark overtones that I just love so much. As a debut book, I think it's phenomenal in the way that the author infuses so much tension in a family drama. The tension keeps building and building until we get to this excellent and yet explosive ending. It's like seeing a car crash in slow motion. You know where it's headed, but you cannot look away. As you're listening to this episode, this book will have been released on February 20th, and I was so honored to read an advanced copy. So please go read this one, you guys. And that is Brooklyn 76 by Anthony Osceola.
Hey, my next one is A Little Hope by Ethan Joella. In the small city of Wharton, Connecticut, lives are beginning to unravel. A husband betrays his wife, a son struggles with addiction, a widow misses her late spouse, and at the heart of these interlinking stories is one couple, Freddie and Greg Tyler. I've talked more than once about my love for Ethan Joella, like a lot. I know you guys have heard me talk about it. And his debut novel is the perfect example of what I love so much in his writing. He is able to take a handful of characters, put you into their lives, and then make you care about their outcome, all of them. There is never one character I care about more than the others, or one storyline that I'm craving to return back to. It's just all of them. And the way that he talks about small towns reminds me so much of where I grew up that there's a piece of nostalgia in there for me too. I've now read all three of his books and it will never not amaze me that the way that he is able to connect everyone through their stories. I think he's also able to really write about grief with this little glimmer of hope that I really appreciate. Because we care about these characters, we're able to walk through their struggles with them, but we also know that they will be okay just as we all are. So this one is A Little Hope by Ethan Joella.
Right, my last debut that I want to share with you is called Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill. It's about an aging rock star, Judas Coyne, who's a collector of the macabre. He has a cookbook for cannibals, a used hangman's noose, etc. But nothing he possesses is as dreadful as an item that he finds for sale online. For $1,000, he will become the proud owner of a dead man's suit, said to be haunted by the deceased restless spirit. But what gets delivered to his door in a black heart-shaped box is no imaginary or metaphorical ghost. It is the real thing. And suddenly, the suit's previous owner is everywhere, even behind his bedroom door. Dun, dun, dun. So what I loved about this story was how quickly Judas's life went off the rails. After receiving this heart-shaped box with a dead man's suit, he has to hang on for the worst ride of his life. And as the reader, we're holding on right along with him. It was creepy and dark and fantastical in all the best ways. And so, as a debut novel, you might say, yes, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, so maybe these stories just run in his blood. But for a debut horror novel, I feel like he immediately put to rest whether or not he can write at the same level of his father, because he definitely can. And I also think the haunted item slash ghost story trope has been done to death, no pun intended, in this genre. But Joe Hill brought a very fresh twist with this book, and I think it's phenomenal. So, this is Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill.
Hey, and the last one I want to fully talk about is called The Measure by Nikki Ehrlich. This was my favorite book of 2022, and I still think about it from time to time. Also, do not listen to any of Mia's reviews about this book. On one seemingly normal day, every single person around the world, 22 years old and up, wakes up to a small box on their doorstep. No one knows where the boxes have come from or what they truly mean. But inside, the box holds each person's fate because inside is a string, one that will tell you exactly how long you live. So I think it's no surprise that my favorite thing about this book is the creativity. Like I mentioned a couple earlier books, that is what truly makes a debut stand out for me. It's the fact that these new authors have come up with a concept that feels so fresh that I can't help but love it. So, what I love most about this one in particular, and what blew me away, is that the ways in which the author thought through so many different scenarios that would come up when a world knows how long a person will live. I found those things absolutely fascinating to think through and also apply to what I know about our actual world to this created world. So, this one was so good to me, and it's called The Measure by Nikki Ehrlich. And I also have a few others that I just want to mention quickly. The Sky Blues by Robbie Couch, Love Buzz by Neely Tubati Alexander, How to Be Eaten by Maria Edelman, Cleopatra and Frankenstein by Coco Malores, Pete and Alice in Maine by Caitlin Shetterly, Talking at Night by Claire Daverly, and The Christmas Orphans Club by Becca Freeman.
So we love a debut author and getting to see where they're starting with their literature career. But before we sign off today, I want to know which of the authors that you mentioned before that you're most excited to read their sophomore novel.
So, Alice Wynn, Emily Habeck, and Nikki Ehrlich are definitely at the top for me. I am craving their sophomore novels and hope that they're currently in process, especially Nikki Ehrlich. Hers came out a couple of years ago. I know Alice Wynn and Emily Habeck's just came out last year, but I can still be hopeful, right? That'd be great if they were
Definitely.
like all came out this fall.
Just for you.
Yes, exactly.
So for me, I would say that Anthony Osceola is the only one from my list that would qualify, since the other debut books I listed are much older, and those authors are written their sophomore novels and beyond. But I know that when Anthony does write a sophomore novel, it will be excellent because I love his writing style so much. So I know his book will have just come out when you guys are hearing this, but maybe he'll start like a new one soon-ish.
Yeah, and maybe this fall would just be a book bonanza for us with all of these authors. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
All right, that's it from us today, friends. And as always, we want to hear what your favorite debuts have been. Come chat with us on Instagram at Reading Through Life Pod.
We're wishing you all 5-star book vibes. Bye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.